Welcome into the Green Zone pregame show on this Saturday afternoon. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone pregame show. Getting you set for now. It's official. It's a battle of the backups. Jake Mayer versus Jeremiah Masoli. The BC Lions just announced that Nathan Rourke will be bumped back. He'll still be on the depth chart, but he'll be bumped back to third with that oblique injury. Jeremiah Masoli will get his second start. And, of course, it is the Jake Mayer show today for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders with Trevor Harris not getting all the boxes ticked ahead of kickoff. But, Daryl, this is why you brought in Jake Mayer.
This is why they have that depth chart the way they have that whole quarterback room too, right? And I keep thinking maybe they'll even use Tommy Stevens a little bit more today, because when you have a quarterback in who hasn't played a whole lot and he's your backup, you want to run the football a bit. A.J. Ouellette's going to be important today. So is Thomas Bertrand-Hudon. So they're going to have to run the football, I think. And why not try Tommy Stevens in there once in a while? Because you know darn well when Trevor Harris is in, they're not running the football.
Oh, man, Tommy Tugboat, whole giddy
up. He doesn't like Tugboat.
I like it.
He doesn't. We talked to him about it. It's not Tugboat.
Yeah, he's not a big fan. He said there's so many good things I could be called. Why would you call me Tugboat?
Thomas Bertrand-Hudon's got train, so he's taking train. Yeah. Apparently, Tommy Stevens' brother has tank already, so he can't use tank. So he kind of liked the Touchdown Tommy nickname.
Touchdown Tommy it is.
And there you go.
I'll roll with it. All I know is I saw stiff arms last week. And like you said, Daryl, the run game I think is going to be important. But, I mean, Mayer, he's got experience. Like, are we worried about anything? I'm not. Like, I think everything's going to
turn. Are you worried about Jake Mayer?
We haven't been big fans of his in here, right? And you know, maybe it didn't work out in Calgary. Maybe the offense wasn't right for him. Maybe Mark Mueller, the offensive coordinator here, and Jake Mayer get along a little better. Maybe they'll put some plays in. Yeah. He hasn't played much. He hasn't played at all since he's been here, right? So, I'm a little concerned. This offense is built around Trevor Harris, the quick release quarterback, and his throwing ability and ability to read very quickly. So it's going to be a change.
And see, the thing for me is, you're right there. He had a horrible preseason, I would say it best, right? But he's got this starting O-line group who's been pretty solid so far this season. I want to see that ball fly a little bit today, man.
He throws pretty well. Yeah. He's got a pretty good, deep throwing, accurate arm, right?
So that's what I want to see then.
Let's hear from the starting quarterback. Jake Mayer gets his opportunity.
Yeah, excited. Yeah, as a backup quarterback on any team, you never know when your number is going to be called. So, I guess for the team, it's obviously bittersweet, obviously, because you want to be, make sure that everybody's ready to go and healthy and ready to play. But, given the circumstances of the week and kind of how it's all played out, I'm ready to step in and do what I can for the team.
Last time you had a first start with the CFL team, it was 2021, and you had that torrid stretch with Calgary. What do you remember about that first game and that first stretch?
Ooh. That I barely knew anything. That was like the first game I wore a uniform, because I was in street clothes. I was inactive because the different roster situation that we had during it was basically kind of a COVID season, right? Where you only suit up two guys. So I was that was my first game suiting up, and I remember just asking Bo at the time, who was on the field, just like, hey man, like all the games like this, because it kind of went back and forth, and you start out, you're not playing well, and all of a sudden you get hot, and then by the end of the game, the other team's throwing a Hail Mary to try to win. And he goes, yeah, you get used to it. So that was the memory of that night.
Your last start was here at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to be on the other side of that in green, no matter what the stadium's behind you?
I mean, I love it. I mean, I feel like for the first 3 weeks, I couldn't be more proud to be a part of this organization and around Coach Mace and the culture that he's created here. You hear a lot about it from the outside, but when you're in these walls, you really feel it. So, to be able to share that real adrenaline with your teammates, and, because I would say, if you don't play, you are a supportive teammate and you love to be a part of it, but you don't get really that edge to you, right, that you would get when you're out there and your body's on the line and you're experiencing those real-time moments. So to feel that in front of a home crowd that I know is going to be excited against a division rival, you can say, right? So that's going to be uh, that's going to be one of those out-of-body experiences that you always look forward to.
That is Jake Mayer, the starting quarterback today for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Belton knew it was coming. Let's jump right into our first bold prediction question of the day. By the way, Daryl's kicking our tail early going this season for bold predictions. So,
what's the score?
Daryl's at 31 points. I'm at 24, and you're at 16.
Oh, what, week what, four?
Yeah, we got tons of time. There's probably going to be a Grey Cup bold predictions from the way everybody's feeling in this room with this Rough Rider team. So there's still a long way to go, Daryl. Don't get too comfortable at the top of the leaderboard. Okay, Jake Mayer, attempts, completions, yards, touchdowns, interceptions. What do you think Jake Mayer does in his first start as a member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
30 attempts.
Okay, here we go. Belton's ready to go. 30 attempts.
17 completions.
Yards.
329.
Ooh, boy. Touchdowns.
Three touchdowns.
Interceptions.
One interception.
There you go.
Wow. 15 for 26, 275, one touchdown. Belton say two touchdowns or one?
Three.
I said three touchdowns. You can go two if you want.
No, no, that's okay. I'll go and two picks.
Two interceptions. Okay. I think this is a run game for the Rough Riders.
Could be.
I'm going to say he attempts 21 passes. Completes 18 of them for a very high percentage today, but only throws for about 220, two touchdowns, no interceptions for Jake Mayer this afternoon. All right, there's our bold predictions. One of the other big stories is more on the kicking game for the Rough Riders. Another missed field goal for Brett Lawther. Kent Majuri, what's going on?
You know, he's an own it guy. Like, if he's struggling, he's not going to point the fingers. He's going to own it. And nobody's worked harder, I promise you, since that rough go. And he's trying to get it corrected. And it's going to take some time, but he's doing great.
From our vantage point, there seems to be trouble with the holds. Is there something that you're working on? Is it just new unfamiliarity a little
it's
bit?
It's just anytime you have a new holder, a new snapper, it takes a ton of reps to get comfortable with it and the tilt and where it is on the block, things like that. But the holds have been fine. Okay. It's Brett, you know, we're doing some things technically, getting back to some other like technique stuff that's really helping him, and he's fine.
Okay, so it's not the holder.
I thought you were going to say good question.
That was a great question.
The voice sound familiar?
It does. It
just shows you I'm at practice sometimes anyhow.
So every so often.
Every so often, okay. And Kent Majuri, I like talking to him. He's pretty good about he's pretty honest. These coaches and this staff's pretty good about it, about being candid, so. Go ahead, Jamie. Sorry to interrupt and with some self-praise there.
But where are we on the kicking game? Because we're all Team Brett Lawther right now on this show. But how long can that last? If Kent's saying the truth that it's not the hold, that it's the kicker. And the kicker's saying it's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite believe it. I'll
let you know after this game, Jamie.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm looking at it, too.
I'll let you know.
It takes a little bit to get back. He had a really bad one 2 games ago.
Yep.
He missed an important, it could have been
a
an important.
Short, one. Important
32-yarder, 33-yarder last game, so that should be automatic. And then, if he starts missing it now, then the self-doubt comes in, and then you bring in somebody else.
That's my problem with kickers right there, guys, right? When they're making them, it's Mr. Automatic. I'm not worried, but 2 games in a row now, even as a player on that field, like, man.
Yeah. They were pretty supportive the first game. The players all rallied around him the first game, but I didn't see quite as much of it the second game. Maybe that's just me watching it, but, you know, and he was – you could tell he wasn't happy about the second one. The first game, you know, he had a funny one. Brett Lawther says, maybe I'm just masochistic, right? I'd like doing this to myself and fighting my way back. And it's kind of weird to think that way, but he was laughing about it. But this last game after it, he just didn't see the joy in it this time because there might be a bit of an issue. I don't know if it's holding, timing. There's something, but you can't keep missing those as this season gets deeper.
So there's a positive on the special team side. And that is the play of Mario Alford feeling a little bit better this season.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I felt like, I had some big returns called back, but at the end of the day, I know I could have been better, but at the end of the day, again, I know what I can do. But, yeah, I just, you know, I just do me, you know, and just try to help my team win.
There was a lot of noise, fans, media, about Mario Alford, the return game up for grabs. Did you use that as fire, maybe? Because you're off to a great start this season.
No, not at all. I don't pay that no attention. I don't pay the noise, the media. I don't even read that stuff. So I didn't even know that that was being said. I had people coming telling me about it. But, again, I knew it. And I know what type of player I am. I know what I can do. Been doing it for a long time. So that was unfazed for me.
Yeah, Kent Maggiore as well, Daryl. You were, of course, you were in that scrum, so you know it. And you asked some of those questions. Also said with Mario, he's starting to see him attack upfield more.
Yeah.
And when he does that, he can run through arm tackles, and that's where he's dangerous.
Yeah, they both said during that practice, Jamie, afterwards, they both said Mario Alford wasn't happy with the way he played last year. Like, the numbers weren't bad. He was third in punt return yardage, third in kickoff return yardage, but he wasn't, and we talked about it. We criticized him quite a bit. You know, I'll put my hand up and say, who criticized him? I did. I didn't know if he was going to make the team this year. But the way he's running now, it's a good thing they kept him. He was amazing, but he does have that burst to go straight upfield, and he has that strength to break arm tackles. So that's what you want in a returner, and you want an angry returner, and that's kind of what I wrote about in the Leader Post this week, that he's angry now because, you know, he says he doesn't read the media, and okay, nobody says they read it or listen to the radio or watch it on television or check. Yeah, he knows. Somebody told him that people are criticizing him because he took a local writer to task earlier this season about saying that Dre McCray was having a good season preseason and might unseat him. So he knows what's going on. And if that motivates a guy, whatever motivates you, go for it, use it when you're a pro. And now he's motivated and being very productive.
I have a question for Belton. Do you ever read the newspaper when you're playing or go out and see?
What did you say? I want to know what he said. Belton says, I never read it, but yeah.
Of course we read the papers, man.
Did all the guys in the room know what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
And like you said there, even if a player came over and told him or something or, yeah.
I've
got Twitter. Yeah, like you can't dodge
that
stuff.
It's not newspaper as much. I realize that the eras have changed, but there's Twitter, there's online publications, there's all sorts of stuff that he's being criticized. He knows it. So whatever fires him up, good for him.
Even the fans have stated the same things, right? Like it's not a big secret, and yet he is having a heck of a season so far.
Right? He's running like he used to run, isn't he,
Bell? Exactly.
Last year he didn't run this way.
He was pushed
easily out of bounds, and whatever motivated him, he's a new guy again this year. So.
I've had two players and two on another team this season. I've introduced myself to either over the phone or in person, and they all go, oh, no, I know who you are.
Yeah.
I read your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They do, right? All the coaches that over the years, they all say, oh, I don't read the media. I don't pay attention to the media. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I don't think
how
you can
you always
it.
Know what the media and the fans
the media is
about?
Against us. How'd you know that if you don't pay attention? But Mario Alford having a great start to the season. It looks like he, put him down.
Yeah,
as maybe he won it a few years ago, could be a candidate for Special Teams Player of the Year in the Canadian Football League, although it is early going this season. Coming up next, we'll get to Britton Gray's All or Nothing as we'll take a trip to Milligan's Island on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. We're getting set for the Rough Riders and the BC Lions, the 1-2 Lions coming in. It's now official. Jeremiah Masoli will start at quarterback for BC. Nathan Rourke was listed as a game-time decision. That decision has already been made. He will not play. And we know it's Jake Mayer. He is the starting quarterback for the Rough Riders with the injured Trevor Harris, with the Rough Riders trying to improve to 4-0 for the second straight year. A big part of this team has become one of their defensive captains, Roland Milligan Jr., and with Britton Gray's All or Nothing, he focuses in on Milligan's Island.
Last season, Roland Milligan Jr. not only became a household name in the CFL, he became one of the elite defenders in the league, hauling in 8 picks.
Intercepted, sliding underneath. Who else? Roland Milligan.
And it's Roland Milligan back up to his old ways as the CFL's leader. Interceptions, grabs another off Masoli.
MBT down the field, intercepted. Who else? Roland Milligan. He He's got his eighth, and he picks his way back down the field.
That performance saw him get named the 2024 Most Outstanding Defensive Player.
Still shaking. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a real moment when they called my name. And just a rush of emotions. Kind of still got them right now. Just still trying to come back down from it. But it feels great, man. Just getting the recognition of all the work I put in.
So now in 2025, can Milligan be even better? He certainly thinks so.
That's what we're planning on. Just taking the game at a time, man. Practice at a time.
He's already done something this season he didn't do last year. Find the end zone for a touchdown.
Mitchell down the field, and that's going to be intercepted by Milligan. He's got it in midfield. Down to the 40. A little bit of room. All the way down to the 20. Still going to the end zone. Got there. Touchdown, Riders. Rolling.
I feel like it took long enough, man. It was fun, though, man. I was hyped. I've been trying to get in the end zone for a while, man. You know, they always been joking with me, getting talk about quarterbacks and talk about offensive linemen and stuff, so it felt good to finally finish one of them off.
Defensive backs coach Josh Bell was excited to see the veteran finally reach the end zone and was impressed with the celebration.
Man, with the backflip, you feel me? It was amazing, right? To see him in that end zone, right, and expect him to get a couple more before the season is over with.
Bell also believes bigger things are on the way for Milligan because he's in his second season in the system and is more comfortable.
He's a little more free to kind of paint the Picasso how he sees it and kind of just go make plays. Even more, what I would love for him to be is a little bit more reckless. He's such a disciplined guy. He plays so well within the structure. I like to see him just say me more, a little bit more. Call his number and kind of set things up for himself. But how are you going to game plan when he's anywhere that he wants to be or he's wherever you want to throw the ball? I think that's what we got used to seeing last year, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. And I'll say it out loud. I believe that Roland Milligan can catch 15 interceptions in a season. He's an amazing football player. He has that ability in him. Just the question is will they put it in the air that many times for him to get 15? But most definitely, I think he has that ability to make 15 interceptions easily in a season.
Milligan does credit Coach Bell for helping him reach this point.
He's big about expanding your thought process, your mind, and what you see, what you feel. So I feel like early on I was playing a lot off of athleticism, and then being able to pair the athleticism with the mental aspects, it helped elevate me a lot.
And for the veteran defender, he always believed in himself he could do this.
It's just being able to be available and then just to prove it every week. You know, if you want to be the best, you got to show that you're the best, you know what I'm saying? So just having the opportunity, you know, my body's holding up for me and then just going out and making plays.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Roland Milligan Jr. definitely made a name for himself across the CFL as last year's Defensive Player of the Year. And as Josh Bell said, the only thing is he could get 15 interceptions, but are they ever going to throw around him? I don't know if they will anymore.
Yeah, those are the guys often don't have good stats because they're overlooked because nobody throws in their direction. But he gets some stats on the board too just by playing special teams. So he's got a lot of and he supports the run. He's the captain of that team too. They all rely on him. They're not when he went down that first game, got hit in the head. That wasn't the same team when he's out of there.
And the one play that just still sticks out to me. He's like kind of covering two guys, like just he's in a zone area, and he flipped his hip, turned and ran to where the ball was going and was able to deflect it. I thought that was pretty freaking athletic,
amazing
man.
Skill,
for a DB?
Yeah.
Well, he had to read the ball, know where it's going.
Do
a full 180 almost.
Yeah.
I would have chalked that up as a touchdown.
It looked you're right, because that guy was uncovered Milligan went and got him. Yeah. And you're right. Then they all DBs talk about hips, your hips in the right direction. Yep. And he was faced the other way with his hips. He was faced turning right, and he had to come back and turn his hips to face left to knock down that pass.
Yeah.
Roland Milligan Jr., a heck of a find for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as we get set for the Riders and the BC Lions. It's the Kiskatchewan game in honor of the Indigenous community. There's giveaways for the first 5,000 fans who get in. There's flags for the first 10,000 after that.
We better
there's
hurry then.
The buffs that you get with the Indigenous logo with added color this season. It's a great logo.
It is.
The BC Lions are wearing theirs. I also like their logo. As well. So
Can we shut down early and head over for Buffs and Crest? No.
That's up to Belton's family to get in there first, I guess, to get that stuff. Or mine. They're going to the game, of course. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we're going to go behind enemy lines, talk to James Butler, who has returned to Vancouver to run the Rock for the Lions. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back. It's the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson, getting you ready for kickoff. It is the Riders and the Lions on TSN. 5 o'clock is the kickoff at Mosaic Stadium this afternoon. Of course, we'll keep an eye on the weather. Not right now. Looks like it's going to be a nice night for football, but in the heat, always a chance, might see some rain or thunder showers, but more it looks like through central Saskatchewan around Saskatoon, more than in the southern half at Regina. But right now, let's go behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
Each and every week, we go behind enemy lines. I grab a chat with a member of the opponent, and this week I discussed his career thus far with running back James Butler, taking him back to 2019 as a late training camp cut of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and how much that motivated him in his CFL career.
Yeah, it was very motivating. Honestly, when I look back on that time, I was just really immature when I came to SAS my first time in 2019. I felt like I had just finished like my first year on practice squad with the Raiders, and I was still pretty young. And I was kind of like how a lot of like rookies come when they first come to Canada. They're just like, I'm gonna come here, I'm gonna get tape, and I'm gonna leave. I'm not staying. I'm not gonna unpack my bags. I'm just gonna come here, get tape, and I'm out. And that was kind of my mindset when I was a lot younger. But now I know, like, you know, I've carved a nice career out here in Canada. I love it up here in Canada. So I just feel, and I try to tell young guys that, because I can kind of see it out of some guys and some guys not, like, hey, like, know that, like, I know how much you want to get back, you know, to down south, but you can carve out a really nice career if you can just be where your feet are at.
And it's interesting, James. It's probably two, right? Like, for those young guys, you kind of have to pull them aside and say, you have to take this serious. Like, you probably found out real quick, my goodness, the talent level up here is fantastic. So don't expect to come up here and be a superstar in day one just because you went to a big school or something at the NCAA.
No, 100%. Or guys who played substantial minutes or games in the NFL. And I found out quick that, like, even with my time in SAS, like when I went to SAS, it was William Powell was the starting running back. He had just signed from Ottawa, and they had Marcus Thigpen, who was also a seasoned veteran. So me and J-Mo, we were really just competing on a spot on the practice roster, no matter how good we were. We were never going to see the field that year. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, and then obviously you got to, like, look at the ratio too. Like, there's not a lot of spots for Americans on these rosters. So, like, I feel like people think the CFL, they think, like, oh, it's just like the knockoff league of quirky league. Like, it's hard to crack a roster in the CFL till this day. Like, you know, like, I still get excited on those last team meetings when training camp breaks, and I still, like, am a little antsy on those release days. Like, hey, just want to make sure, like, I can go to this meeting, right? I'm supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying? So, like, because you generally never know. Like, you know, I mean, we find out every year it's always some big crazy cuts of veterans that you would never think. But, you know, any opportunity to make a CFL roster is not easy to do, because, like we said, like, it's ratio. I tell people all the time, the ratio is undefeated. You're never going to beat the ratio. No matter what you do, the ratio will always win.
So James Butler's joining us, the BC Lions. What's it like back in BC?
Yeah, 100%. I felt like I learned early on, like, as a kid and, you know, transferring schools and always kind of moving around, to never burn any bridges. So it's obviously really nice to be back with, you know, a few of the old guys, you know, as CFL is. There's always a lot of turnover, so new guys, new staff, which I love. And but I love being back in BC. I honestly feel like I love it out west. I came here, my CFL career blossomed, and I feel like, you know, I kind of feel, makes me feel young again. I'm back wearing my college number, so it's amazing. I get to play with Nate again, which is also awesome, and, you know, learn under Coach Buck, who's been a great OC in this league. So it's been fun. It's been exciting.
Do you get excited? Like, Buck Pierce and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, we've seen Brady Oliveira. They're not shy to run the ball. As a running back, you're like, yes, please, let me play for Buck Pierce, who clearly wants to run the rock.
100%. I feel like even as, like, the O-line, like, you know, like we were talking about today, like, that's why the O-line loves to be, you know, coached by Coach Buck, because we're, like, he wants to assert a physicality. He wants to assert the run. He loves to run the ball. He doesn't shy away from running the ball. So, yeah, I feel like any tailback, you know, would love to play and like, no knock against Brady, but, like, you know, he's not the one calling the plays. But, you know what I'm saying? But the last 3 years, you've seen who's been the leading rusher, who's been the best back in the league. So it's honest to show how big Buck is in the OC and how much he really relies on running the ball.
But, James, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are pretty good at stopping the run. When you turn on the film, how good is this Rough Riders front seven from Micah Johnson and Malik Kearney and Jameer Thurman? How hard will it be on Saturday to run the ball?
It's going to be very hard, very difficult. They're a very seasoned veteran group, you know, and obviously Coach Mace got those seven boys flying around as per usual. So it's definitely going to be a great challenge. But I feel like any team in the CFL is going to have a lot of guys. It's going to be hard to run the ball again. So it's just going to come on execution and starting fast.
Finally, can you put into words what Buck's like watching him in his first year as a head coach?
I write it in my notebook, just do it for Buck, man, because he's a coach that makes you want to run through the wall for. He's just a great person, a great guy. And I feel like he, you know, some coaches, you kind of feel like it's just that coaches to player relationship. But I feel like Buck truly cares about us as people, as players, and he was a player. You know what I'm saying? You can tell, like, it just – you can tell it means more, and that he really understands where we're coming from being a player, for being a great player, and then obviously being a great coach for so many years. So I just think that Buck is a coach that makes you want to run through the wall for that. You know what I'm saying? That every down is for Buck.
That is James Butler, running back of the BC Lions this afternoon. Of course, a late cut with the Riders. J-Mo got that, Jamal Morrow got that job, and then he goes to BC. Stars there, had a pretty good year at Hamilton. Now he's back in BC. Belton, when you hear him talk about Buck Pierce, how much does that resonate with how important the coach-player relationship can be, and where he's already going, do it for Buck? Like, he's already got that grip in that room, clearly.
Well, when he said he'll run through a wall for the coach, I had me thinking about Coach Austin. That was a great year, man, with Coach Austin around here, right? So, you know, if you got a coach, you know, that's been a player, even like the Riders coach, Coach Mace, that makes a huge difference, because I think they know how you feel. They've been in your shoes. They've been there. They've done it. And I don't know, it just resonates with everyone in that room. And if you know, do it for Buck, man, I was ready to count the BC Lions out here until I heard that, man. That could be motivating.
Unfortunately for Buck, he's got Jeremiah Masoli, a quarterback, yeah, rather than Nathan Rourke.
Yeah, Masoli doesn't look like much these days, so I think that puts them at a disadvantage. But they're going to have to run the football. We've talked about both teams needing to run the football, and you know what? Butler's a pretty good one. So, I think they're not in bad shape.
No.
Let's go to the second bowl prediction question today. This is the Riders' defense that in the first three games have given up a touchdown in the first two drives of every game. First drive in two of the three, and then the second drive in game number two. It's been a 7-0 deficit the Riders have been behind. Of course, they climb out of it. They win in the end. So how does this Rough Riders defense do early in the game in the first two drives Is there going to be another touchdown scored by the BC Lions today? Daryl, no. That is no.
I think they've learned. the Riders have been behind 7-0 in every game, right? They've they've come from behind to win every game. So this time I think that they're going to be in control of the game from the start to the finish.
I'm with Daryl.
No?
No.
Okay, it's going to be a clean sweep on no on scoring a touchdown on the first two drives. The next question, when will the BC Lions score their first touchdown in this game? How long do they go?
Second quarter.
When in the second quarter?
Oh, boy. 6 minutes into the second quarter.
Okay. 9 minutes left in the second quarter. I'm trying to think what it'll say on the clock.
Okay.
Yeah. So 9 minutes left. Belton, when do they score their first touchdown?
I think I'm going to go second quarter as well. And it'll be a lot earlier than what Daryl said. So maybe let's go 12 minutes.
Okay, 12.
Mm-hmm.
No touchdown scored by the BC Lions today.
Oh, none?
None?
No.
Oof.
And I'm going to go no touchdown, so nobody will score a touchdown. So who... You guys get to pick who's going to score that touchdown for not who, who's going to score that touchdown, but who gets a touchdown for the Lions
you
today?
You can still pick one, right?
No, I'm not picking. I said no touchdown, so no. I'm going to say no. So if there's no player, I get the point.
Is Mazzoli doing short yardage for them too? I guess I should have paid attention to that. No, Bryce is doing their short yardage, isn't he?
So you're going Bryce?
Bryce, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go Katoy.
Javon Katoy. There you have it on... What the Rough Riders are going to do today on defense. We'll talk to a member of the Riders' defense in DeMarcus Fields, as well as running back A.J. Olette when we go inside the green and white next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone pregame show. It is game day in Saskatchewan. The Riders back at home after two Eastern trips and two wins in Hamilton and Toronto. Now back at home in their own locker room to bring them out today for the Riders and the Lions. But right now we go inside the green and white. Had a quick chat with DeMarcus Fields on whether or not, you know, having Nathan Rourke is a game time decision, and does that really impact their prep process for game day?
We just respect the team, knowing that what we're going to get is what we're going to get. So we've been preparing for both quarterbacks. So we've been just getting ready, and we're just making sure that whoever it is that we're going to be prepared for, and we're ready for both.
Talking to, like, Jameer Thurman, a couple other guys about the communication, those types of things getting cleaned up, how comfortable do you feel going into week four to clean up some of the things in the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, that's what we really got up under our belt this week, and we should see an improvement, and, you know, we take games as just as practice, so we're just going to be it's a learning curve, and I can't wait to see what we're going to display.
How do you feel this season so far? Does look like you're more comfortable, you're understanding the game better. Has it slowed down, so to speak, is the cliche?
It has slowed down, just knowing what I'm gonna get. I remember before last year, I never seen a Wagyu in my life, so that was probably the biggest thing. But yeah, it slowed down tremendously, and I'm being able to learn faster, and it's my second year in this defense, so I'm just able to play more comfortable and faster.
How comfortable is it that the secondary returns a lot of guys? Like, really, it's Tavon who's the only guy who wasn't here last year. How important has that been for this secondary?
That's important because we're building something over here, and which is like brotherhood and family. So really, it makes it real easy to connect to the next person and real easy to play for the next person.
Well, what is it about Justin McInnes that you have to be mindful of, all the halfbacks for this one?
Big frame, big and wide. Pretty nice, fast guy, and all-around good player, man. Got a real big catch radius. It's real important to hunker down and get ready to play for him early.
That is DeMarcus Fields, defensive back for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. As across the board, this secondary is pretty good. When you think of Milligan and Sales and Fields coming on and Revis. I've seen a little bit more from Lacombo even. I think he's not playing as deep. And of course Campbell got an interception last year or last game.
Took Campbell a little bit of a time to adjust again, I think, to player, you know, the speed of the game a little bit, the width of the field. So he seems to be adjusting, which is what the Riders figured would happen. And now, yeah, I don't know if there's a real weakness. Who do you pick on in that secondary?
Who do you pick on the defense, period?
Yeah. There's not many.
It's a well-rounded defense.
It truly is.
And they
right?
got backups, man. Like,
yeah,
you know.
And they play so conservative too. Although all of a sudden, whenever Corey Mace calls that Jameer Thurman a blitz of some sort, it's so so surprising that it's been effective. Whenever he's done it, they play the deep zones, right? Nobody throws. They do throw for a lot of yards, but they have to be in chunks of 10 and 12 rather than chunks of 30 or 40. Yeah. So that's been effective enough, at least good enough to slow them down while the offense has been scoring.
And meanwhile, we'll flip the ball over to the offensive side. I had a nice chat with AJ Ollette. We started talking about the quarterback today that he'll be joined behind center with in the backfield, Jake Mayer.
He's fired up. You put him anywhere else in the league, most teams, I think he can start. He's a great player. He's smart, good arm. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
But when you look at this group, how important has Jake been to what everybody sees across the board, which is the depth of the RB room, the depth of the QB room, the depth of the Y? Like, it seems like every unit has depth. How important will that be, not only this week, but throughout the season?
Yeah, across the board we have it. And it's important on every team because it's football. It sucks, but it's part of the job that people go down. And we're going to see it tomorrow. He's going to step in. He's going to do his job, and we're going to come out with a win.
What do you see from the leadership aspect that Jake has over 40 starts in this league and how comfortable he'll be going into game day?
He's comfortable. He's out there. He's not second-guessing himself in the huddle. Even reading the plays, he's fluent. He's confident. And getting to talk to him this week, he's happy he's not forced into being the rah-rah guy. Because, you know, Trevor's not really a rah-rah guy either. He just steps in, does his job the best that he can, and yeah, he's excited for this role.
How is it relieving for you on how the start of this season has gone?
It's just extra motivation. Every week that we play well is just proof that we should be playing that way. And it does feel good to contribute with the team. And it feels good to, you know, roll out some big games to start off the year because now teams have to plan for us, and hopefully that helps out nine.
How important will the run game be all season? In your experience in the CFL going, okay, this is an intangible winner's need?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm a little biased, but running back position, most important position on the field, right? We got to protect the quarterback. We got to, you know, bail him out on some runs, keep everybody healthy if we can. We might have to check some facts. I'm pretty sure highest paid running back's been in the Grey Cup for the last forever. So, good running backs are important.
How much fun are the running backs having? Whether it's you or Thomas or Kadeem, it seems like anybody who gets the ball is contributing each and every down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blast in our room. We have a good group of guys. Nobody is selfish, running back or fullback wise, who's out there. It's really just whatever's going to help the team win. And I hope we can get everybody on the field once we figure out injuries and, you know, ratio and all that. But I think our backfield is dangerous. And anytime they're on the field, I got to watch them because they run a little bit different. So I can grab something out of their toolbox to help my game as well.
Well, what's your job, so to speak, in communicating with Jake this week now that he is starting? Does anything change? Like, are you sitting with him, understanding his game a little more? And what are some of those things you're trying to pick his brain about before Saturday kickoff?
It's really just make sure he's comfortable back there. I'm pretty good at dissecting the defense and figuring out where they're blitzing from. And if we're going to be hot, and that's the big thing, is my time in the CFL, I've kind of learned to let the quarterbacks know if they're hot, which means get rid of the ball fast, or if we see some people drop, you kind of just keep your mouth shut so they know they can hold on to it and sling it down the field. The little extra communication, telling what route I have as we're getting ready to start the cadence and all that, just to confirm that he knows where his check down is if he needs it, if some blocking messes up or something like that, he'll know where I'll be. And yeah, to keep him confident, talk him up when he makes a big play.
Finally, you're 3-0, but everybody says we can be so much better. How good does it feel that you're 3-0 and still have room for improvement?
Yeah, for the guys on the team last year, we just keep that fresh in our mind. We started off hot, and then we got real bad. Just, you know, stay motivated day by day, take it, and we got to go 1-0 every week.
That is AJ Ollette, the running back of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We got hot, and then we got real bad that one. Good honest truth there from AJ Ollette, but Belton, there's no doubt. he's healthy this year. Like he's a different running back, but it was interesting. He's gotten close. He hasn't got a 100-yard game yet for the Rough Riders.
He hasn't, and yeah, you're right. He's healthy, right? Remember what the preseason game when I seen him hurdle a guy like, oh yeah, he's, and that was a 21-yard scamper, right? And the stiff arm, I'm seeing lots of stiff arms, so I hope to see more of those down the road. The blocking, you know, protection has been great. As you know, running backs, they are part of the blocking scheme with the O-line and everything, and what, two sacks given up? So,
two sacks, yeah. He's pretty good at picking up the right guy.
He's been great, man. Yeah. Like, he hasn't gotten that 100 yards yet, though.
Nope, not with the Rough Riders. He's gotten to 98 once or twice,
yep.
97, 91 last week. He's been there.
So it's time to tap the shoulder.
I think it happens today, Daryl. I think he goes for over 100.
Doesn't have a good D.
Yeah, either. He's got 180 in his last two games, I think, Jamie, something like that. So he's been at the 90-yard mark for two. He's running for touchdowns. He did get hurt that first game. Remember, he got knocked out of the game he got hit in the head. Obviously recovered, even though the Riders don't like to say concussion. There's concussion protocol that these guys have to clear, and has been back since. Being lighter and smaller, we've all talked about it, seems to help him. I don't think he's lost speed. He hasn't seemed to have lost any power, and that's important. He's maybe got a little bit more velocity than he used to have because he's quicker now. But he'll be a big part of today's game, and if you're asking, Jamie, yeah, I think he'll get 100 as well today.
I think it's going to be a strong run game from the green and white.